You have your Bibles tonight. Go ahead and find, if you would, please. Deuteronomy chapter number 33 would be a good place to start. We will actually be a little bit in 31 for just a moment, 32 for just a second. Deuteronomy chapter number 33. My understanding tonight from the Lord is that we should finish the 33rd chapter, and then that will leave us with one chapter to finish the book, and that will leave us one message after that to summarize this great book. And so I look forward to preaching those two messages to you as I look forward tonight to preaching to you from the book, or from the chapter 33 of this great book. We have been studying a series entitled Things to Remember. And we have been looking at the book of Deuteronomy as the last words of Moses in preparing the second generation of Israelites for the promised land. He has been encouraging them in who God is and encouraging them in the blessing of God, which we will speak about tonight, the land of promise that God has prepared for them. He's been teaching them about God and about themselves, and he's been teaching them about their heart, teaching them about the need of their heart. And we've been able to look at this instruction in this letter, or in this great book, and from it, even although the practices may be of the Old Testament, the principles are eternal and the truths are eternal, and we've been able to glean from them. We've also been able to watch the nation of Israel as they find themselves in position of choice sometimes, in position of practice, position of faith and believing, and taking what they have done, whether it be positive or negative, and making an application in our lives. I have thoroughly enjoyed this great book. And we're making our way to the end of the book, and as the book is winding down, even more I'm feeling the heart of this book. Even more I'm beginning to feel the heart of Moses in this great book here as well. And I think you'll feel it tonight in this lesson. Just for a moment of review, if you remember the last time we met, last week Brother Will preached to us a great message. And the week before, it was Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse number 19. Moses was instructed by God to write a song. I preached to you about that song. This was a song that he was to teach to the children of Israel. He was to put it in their mouths. And it was a song that had a purpose to it. It was to be a witness song between God and the nation of Israel. The words of the song you find in chapter number 32. And as we read the words of the song, they were designed to clear God's name. They were designed to remind the people that God is holy, that remind the people that God is good, to remind the people how much that God has cared for them, and also to remind the people of God's great holiness. It really, truthfully, if you look at verse number 46 of chapter 32, you will find that it was a song that was designed to reach the heart of the nation of Israel. And he said, in verse 45, it says, "And Moses made an end of speaking all these words to all Israel. And he said unto them, Set your hearts unto all the words which I testify you to you among this day, which ye shall command your children to observe to do all the words of this law." And I know you've read the word law a lot in the book of Deuteronomy, but in reality, God did not want a purely legal relationship with the nation of Israel. He wanted a loving relationship with the nation of Israel. He was always after their heart. He wanted them to know him, to love him, and to obey him with their heart. And so you find the word heart popping up all through the book. The song that God gave to Moses was designed to be a witness between them. It was designed to teach them the holiness of God, to teach them this, the consequence of sin. But it was also to teach them the love of God, the forgiveness of God, the faithfulness of God. And it was a song that was to be able to reach into their heart. And when they were at a point where they were ready to humble themselves or they were introspective in their heart, this song would come about, and Lord willing, it would lead them to a repentant spirit. Verse number 48 of chapter number 32, God comes to Moses again in the same day that he gave him this song. And he says in verse 48, spake unto Moses that selfsame day, saying, get thee up into this mountain, Abram, unto Mount Nebo, which is in the land of Moab, that is over against Jericho, and behold the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel for a possession. Well, Pastor, why does he want him to go to the mountain? Look at verse number 50. And die in the mount whither thou goest up. So God is directing Abraham. He's directing him to this mountain, and this will be the place where Abraham is going to die. And be gathered unto thy people, as Aaron thy brother died in Mount Hor, and was gathered unto his people. Because you trespassed against me among the children of Israel at the waters of Meribah Kadesh. We understand that Moses smote that rock when he was told to speak to that rock. It was a trespass against God. It was a sin. And the Bible says the wage of sin is what, class? Death. Under the law, it was death. Now, praise God for grace. Praise God for salvation. Praise God for Christ. Praise God that we know that our sin debt has been paid for by the blood of the Lord Jesus, and salvation is available to us. That's why you need the Lord. That's why you need to be saved. And verse 52, he says, yet thou shalt see the land before thee, but thou shalt not go thither unto the land which I give the children of Israel. So because of Moses' trespass, there was a consequence to that sin. He would not be allowed to enter into the promised land, but God was going to let him see it before he died. We're told later in the book, in chapter 34, that Moses does die in that mountain. God buries Moses, and no man knows where Moses is buried. God knew that the idle heart of the nation of Israel, that they probably would dig up his bones and his body and worship him. And so God buried him. Pastor, where did God bury him? I don't know, but he did bury him. And so this is the situation here. And we come into chapter 33, and this is right after Moses has been in, Moses has been instructed to go to the mountain, and Moses has got the death sentence here. And you read chapter 33, verse number 1. And this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. I love that verse because it sets the theme for this chapter. You have an old man here. You have a man that's lived 120 years. You have a man that has nursed and shepherded this nation. He's shepherded two generations now. One died in unbelief. He so desperately wants this one to live. You see that in verse 47 of chapter number 32. And before his passing from this earth, he has a desire to bless the children of Israel. And I love that because of the importance of this blessing in their life. I love that because of the empowerment of this blessing. And here's the title for my lesson tonight. And I'm going to give you my title. Not really going to get my title till my conclusion. I got to preach you a whole lot of introduction to get to that conclusion. But stay with me. The title to the message tonight is this: The Empowerment of Blessing. And I want you to write that down in your mind, if nothing else. Write it down on a piece of paper. The Empowerment of Blessing. I love verse number 1 as Moses is described here by that beautiful phrase, the man of God. I need you to hear me say one sentence and I'll come back to it in the conclusion, but let it ring in your ears. It's one thing to be a child of God. If you're a child of God, would you say amen? Amen. It's another thing to be a man or woman of God. It's one thing to be a child of God. It's another thing to be a man or a woman of God. Just because you are a child of God does not make you a man or a woman of God. So here we have Moses, and he's matured in the Lord. He's at the end of his life. He's carrying a burden for these people, and he has a desire to bless the nation of Israel as the man of God. And I submit to you, as we make our way through chapter 32, the blessings that Moses gives to the nation has such an empowerment upon the nation that it cannot be denied, nor can it be ignored in our life. I will submit to you that God's blessing upon people today can carry the same empowerment in our lives. And it cannot be ignored, and it cannot be denied. So here's what I need you to picture. I need you to picture two bookends. If I say bookends, does anybody know what I mean by bookends on a shelf? Okay? So you have a bookend, you have your books, and then you have another end, and that holds those books together, right? Moses is getting ready to bookend this chapter. He's bookending these blessings. I need to give you the bookends so I can give you the full weight of the blessing and then make my conclusion. Bookend number one, verse number two, please. And Moses said, "The Lord came from Sinai and rose up from Seir unto them. He shined forth from Mount Paran. He came with 10,000s of his saints. From his right hand went a fiery law for them." He's rehearsing the goodness of God, the greatness of God, the glory of God. Verse number three. Yea, he, what's that word, class? Loved the people. Underline that. Highlight that. Bookend number one. Moses, before he initiates his blessings, he is reminding the nation of Israel that God loves them. So important is this bookend because Moses understands that a needed foundation in which to trust the blessing of God is to believe that you are loved by God. Humanity needs to be loved. Pastor, I don't need anyone's love. Not true. As I have met and dealt and spent time with humanity and from the Word of God, you will find that human nature must believe somewhere it is loved. You give me somebody who does not believe that somebody on the earth loves them, and they can't take living on the earth. You strip the thought from someone that no one loves them. They're all by themselves. That's why you must, as a believer, know how to protect your mind and your thoughts. You must understand that when evil thoughts come in that separate you or direct you from all love, you better know what to do with that thought. Pastor, nobody loves me. I got news for you. God loves you. God loves the world. God is love. God loves a non-believer. God loves a believer. Now, God's love is not going to get in the way of his justness, but God loves you. Humanity must believe in love. It must believe that it is love. You will never trust to the degree that God is asking them to trust, or Moses is asking them to trust God here, if you do not believe that God loves you. You must understand that the Bible says that no one or no thing shall ever separate us from the love of God. Pastor, I don't deserve to be loved. Well, praise God, he doesn't love you based on what you deserve or not. He is love. He can't help but love. You may not deserve to be loved in your own mind, but that is not true in the nature of God. God loves you. By the way, God deserves your love. Amen. Well, Pastor, I'm not worthy to be loved. God doesn't love you based on your perceived worthiness. He loves you because he is love. Well, he shouldn't love me, but he does. Sometimes I find that people get so upset when I bring to them the unconditional love of God. They can't hardly take it. Because in their mind, they want to equate God's love with man's love. I got news for you. God's love is so far greater than man's love. Praise his holy name for that. We live in a culture, in a society that I think more evil than believing that there is no God is to believe that there is a God that does not love. So here's what Moses says to the nation of Israel. Book in number one. Don't ever forget, God loves you. Book in number two. Come, if you would, please, to verse number 29. Please, on the count of three, say the very first word of verse number 29. One, two, three.
Happy.
Happy. Book in number one, God loves you. And by the way, the love of God does not change. Not only did God love them, but God loves every one of you in this room. And God loves every human on the planet. God loves people. Book in number two, God can satisfy you. God can make you happy. Happy art thou. The word happy, translated back into the Hebrew, is the word blessed. Anytime you go to the book of Psalms and you read the word blessed, you read the word happy. When you read the word happy, you're reading the word blessed. Two bookends. Israel, God loves you. And God can make you happy. And I do believe if there's two truths about God that get viciously attacked even today, it is these two truths. That Satan is still telling people that for some reason God doesn't love you, whether you have disowned that, whether you've spurned that, whether you're not worthy of that, or whether he's frustrated, whatever, Satan is attacking the love of God. And the other premise that Satan continually attacks in our lives is that God cannot make us happy. By the way, the same way that everybody wants to be loved or needs love is the same way that everybody wants to be happy. Pastor, I'm happy being miserable. No, you're not. When I hear foolish things like that, I hear the human spirit screaming for help. The more a man comes at me with stupidity like that, the more I know he's so wounded and so hurt and so broken. He's just exposing himself. Humanity needs to know love. And humanity needs to know happiness or satisfaction. I want to ask you a question. Do some internal perspective tonight. Are you happy? Are you happy in your life? Are you happy in your marriage? Are you happy in your job? Are you happy in your finance? Are you happy in your relationships? Are you a happy person? Are you miserable every moment of your day? Or do you know what it is to know the rest and blessedness of happiness? This is what he said to Israel. God loves you. And God can make you happy. Pastor, my life is tough right now. Right.
All of our lives know toughness, but in the toughness and depths of our lives, there is not a circumstance in which God's great grace cannot sustain us. And God can bring, even in the midst of those circumstances, peace and blessedness and happiness. And the mental rationale is, my problem's too big, God cannot do that. Or I've tried that already and it didn't work. Therefore, either I will never know happiness, so let me just end my life. Or then I've got to go make myself happy. So I need another woman. By the way, any man that thinks two women make him happy is a man that needs help. Well, I need this drug. I need this out. Something. So either I can't, or I've got to do it myself. Both of those roads take you the wrong way. So here's what Moses is saying to a people that he wants to live. God loves you, and God can satisfy you. Are you with me so far? Now watch these blessings. They start in verse number 6. Here's how I want to read these blessings to you. I want to read these blessings to you, and I want you to receive these as you are these people. So in verse number 6, you're Reuben. Verse number 7, you're Judah. Verse number 8, Levi. And I want you just to imagine what Reuben is thinking and what Levi is thinking and Judah is thinking and Benjamin is thinking and Joseph is thinking as Moses is giving these blessings. And I want you to allow those words either to lift or suppress, encourage or bring a soberness to you. Just receive it, not just words on a paper. Imagine if he's speaking to you, how would you feel about this in this moment? Verse number 6. To Reuben, let Reuben live. Let him not die. Let not his men be few. I don't know about you, but if I'm Reuben, I'm glad I've got the blessing of life. I mean, Reuben is hearing Moses say, knowing where they're going, knowing what they're headed, that God wants Reuben to know life. I want him to know blessing. I don't want him to know defeat. This is the blessing of God upon him. Look at Judah, verse number 7. This is the blessing of Judah. He said, hear the Lord, the voice of Judah. Bring him unto his people. Let his hands be sufficient for him, and be thou a help to him from his enemies. Man, if I'm Judah, I'm hearing the blessing of sufficiency. I'm hearing, yes, I'm going to have enemies, but I'm going to know victory over my enemies. This is my hope for my future generation. This is the hope for this tribe. Look at Levi. To Levi, let the Thummim and the Urim be with thy Holy One. These were those priestly garments where they were able to discern the will of God. He talks about in verse number 9 how he faithfully served the Lord. And Levi's hearing the promise of being cared for while he serves the Lord. Look at verse number 11. Bless Lord. Bless Lord his substance. Accept the work of his hands. Smite through the loins of them that rise up against him and of them that hate him, that they rise not again. I mean, if I'm Levi, I'm taking away from there a sufficiency. I'm taking away from there a discovery of the will of God. I'm taking there a blessing upon my substance. These are the things God's promised to me. Look at Benjamin. The beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety, and the Lord shall cover him all the day long. He shall dwell between his shoulders. What a blessing of provision and protection and of safety for Benjamin, the youngest son. Benjamin, that treasured boy. Look at Joseph. Catch the word precious through here. Verse 13. Of Joseph, he said, blessed of the Lord be his land, for the precious things of heaven, for the dew, for the deep that coucheth beneath, for the precious fruits brought forth by the sun, the precious things put forth by the moon, for the chief things of the ancient mountains, for the precious things of the lasting hills. I mean, if I'm Joseph, I'm hearing the blessing of precious and delightful things in my life, how God is going to care for me. Ephraim and Manasseh the same way. Zebulun in verse number 18. Rejoice, Zebulun, in thy going out. Issachar in thy tents. They shall call the people unto the mountain. There they shall offer sacrifices of righteousness. They shall suck of the abundance of the seas and of the treasures hid in the sand. You're talking about spiritual blessing and material blessing here. These are the promises. To Gad dwells as a lion, teareth with the arm and with the crown of the head. He provideth the first part for himself. He talks about how his strength is going to be there. Look at Dan in verse 22. A lion's whelp. He'll leap from Bashan. This is a young man with strength and victory. Naphtali, satisfied with favor, verse 23. Full with blessing of the Lord. Possess thou the west and the south. I mean, you're talking about an enlargement there. Asher, I love what he says about Asher. Come, if you would, to verse 27. When he talks about Asher here, he says, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. I don't know about you, but as I read these blessings, man, thoughts and emotions begin to arise in my heart and in my mind. The first thing I think about is awesome. How awesome is the blessing of God upon our lives? You think about the stirring of invincibility. Think about what these men are being asked to do. They're being asked to cross a river. They're being asked to go into a land of giants. They're being going into a land, asked to be going into a land that their parents refused and rejected because it was so dangerous. They're turned their back on God. They're being asked to be strong and of a good courage and to go forward here. And Moses is charging them and blessing them. He's saying, God loves you. God can satisfy you. Here is the blessing of God. And does it work? It empowered those boys to get up and to follow Joshua across that river. It enabled them to find a mooring in their life. It enabled them to navigate their lives. It enabled them to find purpose in their life. Well, Pastor, I'm just glad to be a Christian. I don't necessarily need all the blessings of God. Well, good. Then can I have yours? Israel, God loves you. Israel, God can sustain you and make you happy. Between those two bookends, Israel, are the blessings of God. Pastor, as I read these blessings of God, how do I make that practical in my life? Because I understand these blessings for the nation of Israel in here, but how is that? Don't miss the principle. What is Moses doing by giving them these blessings? Here's what Moses is doing. God loves you. God can sustain you. But God must be totally exalted in your life. Israel, this is the promise of God. This is what God is able to do. This is what God will do. This is the way of God. This is the way of blessing. God can make this promise of blessing because of who he is. Israel, listen to me. You need God and you need his blessing upon your life. Now, as I'm these tribes and I'm hearing what God is, the blessing that God is going to do, I'm remembering what Moses taught me. I'm remembering that I'm to love the Lord thy God with all my heart, my mind, and my soul. I'm remembering that I'm to walk in obedience. Now, as I'm being challenged in my nature, as I'm being challenged by the enemy to go a different direction, why would I want to go a different direction with the blessing of God on my life? Why would I want anything opposite of that? If you take those blessings and reverse them, Israel, if you don't walk with me, then Reuben, you're not going to live. If you don't walk with me, then you're not going to know these things. If you don't follow me, then the opposite is going to be true. And as a pastor, I deal with people all the time who are living the opposite of the blessing of God upon their life. Because they have not allowed God to be exalted in their life. What do you mean by that, Pastor? I mean that God is preeminent in his person, preeminent in his word, preeminent in his way. Well, yeah, I believe all of that. Okay. But as God is exalted in my life, it demands my submission to him. It's one thing to believe who God is and to know what God can do and even desire what God can do. It's a total another thing to say, I know you love me, and I know you can satisfy me, and I want that. So whatever you want in my life, I surrender to you. You are the supreme authority. I will not try to make myself happy. I will submit to your word. I will not believe that you do not love me. I will exalt you as the true and living God. No one or no thing will become more precious to me than you. The people who live like that are secured by God's love, and they know the blessing of God. The people who don't allow him that exaltation in their life and that submission to him, those are the people that are so insecure, and those are the people that are so miserable, because they never know the blessing of God from his exaltation and their submission. And by the way, that blessing of God is awesome. It's inspiring. It's empowering. It's joy. It's getting up every day with purpose. It's understanding faith. It's understanding the miracle hand of God. It's having a drive and a passion and a desire and an understanding of God himself and the way of God. I want to say this, and I hope you understand this. The Christian life is not boring. Israel, I'm going to die pretty soon. God told me I got to go up in this mountain and die. How would you like that to be God's will for you? So before I go, let me tell you something. He loves you. Yeah, but look at all we've been. No, he loves you. Well, he shouldn't love us. He does love you. I don't know. He does. How could he ever love us? Look how we treat him. Because he's God. He loves. That's how he can't do anything different. He loves. Well, we're unlovely, right? Don't ever let anybody tell you that God doesn't love you. Israel, don't ever let anybody tell you that God can't make you happy. The times in my life that I tried to make myself happy apart from God, I ended up making myself miserable. The times that I believed that even God couldn't make me happy, the times I made myself vulnerable to the enemy. And I know this. I don't want to live one day without the blessing of God upon my life. I need God. I need his blessing. I need him exalted in my life and me submitted to him. I thought in conclusion, I would ask you this question. I want to be a Moses in one way. And I want the ladies to be a Mrs. Moses. Are you a Moses? Are you, as a child of the living God, someone who's able to bless others? Are you able to speak blessings? Are you a man or a woman of God? It's one thing to be a child of God. It's another thing to be mature and grow in the Lord into a manhood of God or to a womanhood of God. And as a mature believer, are you able to, with your mouth, because it's in your heart, speak to people about the blessing of God to ensure them that God loves them, to ensure them that God can make them happy, to ensure them that the blessing of God is empowering in their life, to let them know that as they exalt God and give him that place in their life, that they can trust him, that there must be this submission. By the way, just don't misunderstand me about happiness. There's contentment there. The sin of discontentment is one thing, but God can satisfy us if we want him to satisfy us. Mom and dad, if you have children, are you empowering your children with the blessing of God? Oh, man. I actually have money in my pocket. I just put my hand in my pocket and I have money in there. I have a $50 bill. That is how most parenting is being done today. This is how most empowering is being done today. We buy our way to peace in the lives of our kids. This will not empower your kid like this will empower your kid. Are you a Moses in the life of your kid? Are you able to speak about the blessing of God because you know it in your heart and you know it in your life? Do your words have power? He loves us. He can satisfy us. And we need his blessing upon our life. Let him be exalted. Take your place in submission to him. Know the joy of that. And let's empower people with the blessing of God as we give them the gospel and teach them the word of God. Shall we pray?